Blog Talk Radio.
This is Crown Talking Drum, and the views and opinions expressed on the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. These views and opinions do not represent those of the Crown Talking Drum Radio Network, its management, hosts, or advertisers. Thank you for listening to Crown Talking Drum.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. Good afternoon. In this hot, hot weather. How is everybody doing? Good, I hope. Today we're going to talk a little bit about why kids, why children, young people, why they seem to act the way they do. One of the reasons, there are many facets to what dictates what a child is going to do, but this is just one of them, and it's just one example. I read an article the other day in one of the newspapers, and I forget which one it was. I don't get a physical paper. I do digital. So, and I read a lot of them. I read quite a few papers, you know, articles from a few papers. This particular article was centered around a Little League baseball team, under 13. They had coaches, you know, the parents were coaches. There was an umpire. There were two umpires. There was an infield umpire and there was another one. And there were several calls made that the umpire and the coach were in disagreement about. And the umpire, the infield umpire, who was 72 years old, and had been doing this for I don't know how many years, for umpteen years he'd been doing this. He just said, okay, you know, well, next time I'll pay more attention. You know, he absolved it as I guess saying that, well, it could have been my fault, you know, I didn't see it, blah, blah, blah. And it was Staten Island playing Branchburg, New Jersey? Yeah, Staten Island playing New Jersey, Branchburg. I'm not really a sports fan, not even of young sports, but this caught my eye because it was so, let me just continue. And after that happened a few times, the coach from Staten Island, the parent from Staten Island came over to the coach, to the umpire, to the infield umpire, the 72-year-old guy. And they argued, and he not argued, but the coach was, you know, loud and effusive and stuff. And people stated that they had seen him between innings taking drinks. So I guess you could say the guy was drunk, okay? Talking out the side of his neck, he was drunk. He hit this 72-year-old man, broke that man's jaw in two places, all because of a baseball game. Now tell me what the kids, in your opinion, what the kids saw and how did they, what's the word I want here? How did they fix this for themselves in their minds? How did they okay this for themselves? How did they make themselves understand this, or did they even understand? Do they even understand what happened? Do they know the wrong and the rightness of this whole situation. It's only a game. That is all it is. It's only a game. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. And it's always been that way, and it will always be that way. Well, I don't know, because with Trump era going on here, I don't know. But anyway, that is how it's always been. And this is how children are taught. This is how they're supposed to be taught. Sportsmanship. That thing that if I lose, I bow, you know, I shake your hand. If you lose, I shake your hand. You know, we cool, you know. One of us had to lose. Both of us could not win. We both could not be playing a game. You cannot both be winners. But for this man to have gone up to the 72-year-old man and punched him to the point where this man's jaw was broken in two places. Not one place, two places. He's going to have extensive dental work. This happened in June, I believe it was June 15th, that Staten Island was playing Branchburg, New Jersey. And I don't know where. I'm not sure if we went to Staten Island or Staten Island came to us. I'm not even sure. What I am sure of is that the children that day, and just to let you know, the parents from Staten Island, they were still saying that even after the man was carried away by ambulance, they were still saying that he was wrong and that he shouldn't have said that, and that's what he got for. And what are their kids thinking? What are their kids seeing? What are their children seeing? What is this teaching their children? I don't even know what ethnicity they are. I don't even care what color, what race. I don't even give a darn. Black, white, blue, chartreuse, orange. I don't care. They're children, and this is how children are molded. They're molded through life, through lifetime activities, lifetime happenings, and this is one lifetime happening here that's going to mold some of those children, a whole lot of them, that's going to mold them in the wrong damn way. They are going to forever look at that and say, some of them, yeah, he kicked that old man's butt. That old man had no business doing this, saying that, blah, 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 and we blah, blah. And that's the wrong impression. That is the most wrong impression that they could give those children. Those children did not need to see that. That man that hit that ump, he needs to go to jail. He really, I don't know what ever happened. I haven't seen any more in the paper about it. In fact, I went to the original article to see if there was any more said about it. And no, I didn't see any more said about what happened to, I'm not sure if he was arrested. He should have been arrested. There's no reason why he shouldn't have been arrested. There's no reason why he shouldn't have been arrested. Those kids should be showed that there are consequences to your actions. And that man's actions should have some horrific consequences. He broke that man's jaw in two places for no reason. for no apparent reason, did he hit that man. They were playing a game. Softball is a game. You have a bat, you have a ball, you have boys on one team, you have boys on another team, you have a pitcher, you have a catcher, and you go at it, and you throw, somebody throws the ball, somebody hits it, and before that kid can get to base, somebody catches it and tries to get him out. And I don't know which call was the call that the coach, I don't know which one he debated, but it happened two or three times. But like I said, several people said that they saw him drinking in between innings. So he was just a drunk behind a coach out there trying to have his belligerent way. He should never, ever, ever be allowed to coach again. He should never be allowed near a baseball field again. And people like that, sometimes I wonder, should he be allowed near his own children? You know, that's just so horribly wrong for him to show the children that side of him, that drunk side of him. I don't know. But that's what I wanted to talk about today. Why the kids seem to have these attitudes about wrong and right. The younger, in this case, we're talking 13 and under, but as they grow up and we see them, like the ones doing the smash and grabs in the stores, the stores that, the high-end stores, I can't even remember the name of some of them, but some of those high-end stores, the kids go in, do smash and grabs. Are they a product of this? Is this what, you know, they think is right because of what their parents have not told them, what their parents have not showed them? This is what's going on today. And I don't even know which generation that is. That's way down below X and Z. The ones that were at this game, these guys were 13, under 13. So I don't know what generation. I can't keep up with that. But this is why I think we have some of the attitudes. No, I don't think it. I know it. This is why we have some of the attitudes that we have from these children today. Because look at their parents. Look at the way their parents act. Now, this is just one example. What else do you think is going on? I mean, and they're probably drinking a lot, not a lot at one time, but a lot of different times is what I mean. And showing off and being crass and being just bullish and ugly and just disagreeable and got to have their way, like this guy that hit the ump. He thought the umpire was wrong, but hey, it doesn't matter if the umpire was wrong. It does not matter if he made a wrong call. He had no right to hit that man. No right whatsoever to hit that man. And I wish I had those kids. I wish that they could be listening right now so that I could say that and I could repeat that so many times. He had no right to hit that man. That coach, I don't know how old he was, he needs to go to jail if he hasn't already. If they didn't jail him, he needs to go to jail. He broke that man, that 72-year-old man's jaw in two places. That's not only is it painful, it's costly. It's going to be costly once this is done. His jaw is wired. He's going to have all kinds of dental work. A guy like that, he needs to be, a guy like that needs to have anger management classes. First of all, they need to take the bottle from him. He needs to stop drinking. And there is so much of that going on, that drinking and that anger that spills over from the drinking, anger and all different other types of attitudes that spill over from you know, getting your courage out of a bottle. And that's what they do. They get courage. It's called liquid courage. And I just wish I could reach out to those kids and let them know that's wrong. Don't ever think that's right. That's wrong. That is wrong on so many levels. And try to make the kids see if you were in that place, if you were in the place of the umpire, would you want to be hit in the jaw? Would you want your jaw broken in two spots simply because you made a call, be it right or wrong? Because I wasn't there. I can't say the call was right. I can't say it was wrong either. I didn't see it. And those people, the other parents out there, they were saying, well, he had it coming. He did not have it coming to have his jaw broken in two places. That he did not have. He did not have that coming. That was not something that he should have had to deal with from a drunken parent. And the parents should not even, if they're going to drink, they should not even be allowed out there. But, that's what I wanted to talk about today, why a lot of the young people today have such fierce attitudes and about right and wrong and such ugly perceptions about right and wrong. And now you see where it comes from. It comes from home. It comes from the parents. Parents are teaching them how, you know, to be ugly like that. I thought I heard somebody knock on the door. But the parents are the ones teaching these kids how to be ugly and disrespectful and how to take things and think that it's okay to steal and it's okay to rob and it's okay to do smash and grabs and it's okay to carjack and first one thing and another. And we wonder why we look at these kids and say, why on earth are they acting like that? Well, a lot of it is because they're taught at home how to act like that. This is what they're being taught at home. These are the types of individuals that are raising these kids, and they're not raising them with the right perceptions. They're not raising them with the right types of moral compasses. Their moral compass is off. That's just horrible. That man, a 72-year-old man like that. You know, that's horrible. I mean, anybody. But it just seems so much worse because the guy was 72 years old. I don't know. Don't know what we're going to come to in this world. Don't know what we're coming to. We're just sort of, what is it, decompressing, whatever. We're de-evolving, I know that. We used to have a moral compass. We don't have it anymore. I don't see people with moral compasses anymore. If they are, they're very few, far between. People just don't care anymore. It's all about, you know, getting what they want. And nobody seems to realize that right is right and wrong is wrong. And that you suffer consequences when you do wrong things to other people. They just don't, they don't care about that anymore. They just should, but they don't. But that's basically what I wanted to touch base on today with that. That was just, and for me to talk about it today, and I read about it like 3 days ago, that obviously, that just goes to show that it made an impact on me. And I'm not one to, I don't go to ball games. I have gone to a couple of ball games, Dodge Stadium, years ago. And I guess you guys say, oh, she's really old. Well, yes, I am. I'm really old. I have not attended ball games here. We have a stadium here, but I have not attended ball games here. But now I have watched ball games on TV with my dad, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed watching ball games here. The Mets, that was my team back in the day. I'm trying to think when that was, the Mets were. It was Darryl Strawberry, Dwight Gooden. Those were the wonder years for me as far as watching baseball with my dad. Because Darryl Strawberry could hit anything that anybody could pitch at him, and Dwight Gooden could hit anything that anybody could, wait a minute, how did I say that? No. Darryl could catch, and Dwight could hit, right. But anyway, they were good until they destroyed. They kind of messed their lives up, but hey, it's the name of the game. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine.
Yeah, I was just talking about that baseball game that went so wrong. Staten Island was playing Branchburg, New Jersey, and it was under 13. The kids were under 13. Young kids, softball.
They had
little leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
Little leaguers, that's right. And, you know, there was this one coach there that disagreed with an umpire. And the umpire made a couple of calls, and he and the coach disagreed. And at first, the coach just said, the umpire said, well, okay, if I was wrong, I was wrong. And the coach kept coming back, and finally he hit the guy. He hit the guy in the jaw. He broke his jaw in two places. 72-year-old man, okay?
Oh, yeah. 72-year-old
man. He gonna hit this man in the jaw and break his jaw in two freaking places. Not only that, the people reported that they saw the coach drinking in between innings. So he was drunk.
Okay.
He was drunk.
Well, you know, the parents do that at the kids' football games, the basketball games. There were the little kids who were playing basketball, and one of the mothers was upset about something. So what'd she do? She put her foot out so the kid would trip over her foot. So when you got grown people acting like children.
Exactly.
What do you expect from the children?
That was my conversation today. This is what's wrong with the children. Do you see those kids out there smashing and grabbing?
Yeah.
Who's raising them? People like that coach.
And so you don't. I just don't get it. The parents, a lot of adults act like children. It's like they forgot how to be an adult. They forgot how to set a positive example. No.
They didn't grow up.
And there's a lot of them
was.
That never grew up.
There's a whole lot of them. They didn't grow up. Their parents didn't let them grow up. This goes back. It goes back. And each generation just gets a little worse and worse.
Yeah, it does. It really and truly does. I see that at a lot of kids' sporting events, you know, even, you know, the parents running out on the court in the basketball games and going after one of the coaches I'm thinking, really, it's a game. It's a game.
That's what I just said. It's a game, people.
It's not like your kid's not getting into the MLB or the NBA. It's just a game. They're kids.
It's just a game.
You know,
somebody's gonna lose.
But one child psychologist said years ago that he thought it was wrong to give every kid on the kid a trophy. You know, at first, the kids who were, selected to be the best or who were the best players, they got the trophy. But then all of a sudden, to make the other kids feel better about themselves, they started giving every kid a trophy.
Well, see, that's where they messed up right there. That's where they messed up. Everybody can't get a prize.
And this is what
happens.
Just
like everybody can't win. There's going to be a loser, and there's going to be a winner.
And it was so, like, even when they did bad, they still turned out to be a winner because they got a trophy. Now they've grown up and had kids of their own, and they're just
They're teaching their kids the same identical thing.
Well, everybody doesn't turn out to be a winner, and you learn how to deal with disappointment.
It's called good sportsmanship.
Yeah, they don't.
They don't know anything about that.
Nope, got away from that.
Don't know anything about that.
No. The only thing I've seen recently with kids, Little League Baseball, which was an example of good sportsmanship, was the pitcher who hit the boy with the ball. And the kid who was the pitcher was upset about it. But the kid was all right. But the kid finally left his base where he was, and he went over to the pitcher and gave him a hug and told him, I'm all right.
I saw that. That made my heart glad.
Yeah, I said, okay.
I saw that.
So
he was hugging the boy.
Yeah, I said, so you're learning something, but a whole bunch of y'all ain't learning nothing at all, nothing. Nothing. I don't know where the kids that they are going because, like I said, the parents act like children and parents do a lot of things that you wouldn't think that they would do in front of their kids, but they do. They cuss, they fuss, they yell, they, you know, start arguments, start fights, and kids right there watching them. So they go
but
up and do the same thing.
It's their level of. It's their level of, that they're showing the kids. They're showing the kids a level of indiscretion that shouldn't be shown to the children.
No, and as one psychologist would say, they have a very low emotional IQ. You can feel some type of emotion about something, but you've got to be mature enough to know how to deal with it correctly. And sometimes it's not worth doing or saying anything.
Right.
But they do. People get that emotional feeling, the adults, and they just go after someone. So everybody's going after somebody. The adults going after adults. The kids are going after the kids. I don't know where we're headed.
It's not a
no
good
idea.
Place where we're headed, that's for sure.
No, it isn't. It's not good at all.
Mm-mm.
Not good at all. I remember growing up, and we were told that the adults set an example for the kids. But I look at the examples they set today.
They're not setting. But see, that's what parenthood is all about. That's what parenthood is all about. You not only raise the child, you nurture.
Yep.
And you teach, you mold. And yes, you set good examples for
examples.
Them. So that they'll know how to you know, operate.
If you get angry at somebody, you don't get your way, what you do? Punch them. You go hit them. You know, you go hit them. Or if you get angry enough and you got a gun, you shoot them. That way, you know, you feel better about it. Your emotions have gone down or something. I'm bewildered. I'm bewildered with how they're dealing with them today.
But they're not dealing with them, really. They're dealing with their own emotions. They're not dealing with their children's emotions. They're not trying to grow their children in any emotional way.
No. Well, I remember a commercial that used to come on TV. It's been a while since they've shown it. It was several years back. I guess it was when cell phones really started to become the thing. And everybody's at the dinner table, mother, father, the children. They're all sitting around at the dinner table. And everybody at that table was looking down on a cell phone. Nobody was conversating. They weren't having any conversations with each other, nothing. They were just all looking on their cell phones.
But that's how it is today. That's how it is in most households today.
And very few, I don't think a lot of households, I don't even think they sit down and eat together anymore. They just grab and keep on going.
Don't.
Yeah.
And keep going.
Over
their rooms or wherever.
They don't sit down and actually
and share the details of their day. And this is where a lot of nurturing comes in. You find out how was your day today? Would you and find out what the kid had to deal with and let them know, you got to deal with it another way.
Look at the shortage of teachers across the country. Across the country, there is a shortage of teachers. And a lot of them said that they were quitting because of the disrespect, not only from the students, but from the students' parents.
Right.
A lack of respect. So they quit.
And
they don't want to deal with it anymore. You can't blame them.
If your child can't respect me, then you stay home with your disrespectful child. You stay home with your disrespectful child.
I mean, I think it was Florida. They're looking for 9,500 teachers. They're short 9,500 teachers. So now what they're going to start doing, they're going to start pulling any and everybody into the classroom to teach your kids.
And, well, it's already that way, first of all. It's already like that. And it's going to get worse because the teachers we have today, they aren't teaching.
No.
They're not teaching.
No. They teach the test, and that's it. The standardized test.
That's
all.
The standardized test. That's right.
And it is so much that these kids graduating high school today, they don't know anything. I am shocked at what a lot of the 18, 19, 20-year-old, they don't know. They don't know. They weren't taught it in school. You had no type of reinforcement at home. So you just don't know. I thought at first that maybe technology would make the kids even smarter because there was so much information that they could just go to their phones or tablets or laptops to get. But it seems like it's had just the opposite impact on
them. Well, see, because first you got to have a base. And if you don't have a base, then you don't even know what you want to look for.
No.
You don't even know what you need to know. If you don't have a basis for it, you got to have a basis. You got to have a reason to it's hard to explain. But you got to have the foundation. That's what I'm talking about. You got to have the foundation.
That foundation and And so the adults don't want to grow up, so I guess the kids won't grow up either.
No, they won't grow up. The kids are not growing up. They're not
and
growing
even,
up.
Like with the kids and the bullying in school. We didn't have a lot of bullying going on when I was in school. I was always taught that if they bullied you, you go back at them. Because once you go back at them, they back down. They know you're not afraid of them. But today, it's become such a thing that the school administrators, when they're made aware of it, they don't do anything about it. And the kids, I guess for some reason, don't feel comfortable talking to their parents about it. I guess if some kid went to his father and said, you know, I'm being bullied, blah, 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 and with today's parenting skills, what would he probably say to him? Oh, just man up. So
right.
He's not a man,
right.
So he's not going to man up as it is. And what do? They commit suicide.
Mm-hmm.
They kill themselves rather than to deal with it. I don't know. And parents, they don't recognize what their kids are doing. Well, for one thing, they're in the rooms with the door closed for the most part. They're not even in the same room.
Right. When
with
they're
each
being
other,
bullied,
so.
They're bullying on. They're being bullied on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of
mm-hmm.
it. Some of
mm-hmm.
it's in person, but a lot of it
mm-hmm.
is on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a chain letter bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say things that. And I've never. I know kids are evil. I know kids are. I know kids are really mean as heck.
Mm-hmm.
But these kids today tell the other kids, "Kill yourself."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You should just go ahead and kill yourself.
Good evening. I got two new callers. Good evening. They tell the kids to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom. Hi, how are you?
Doing fine, and you?
All right. We're talking about the children, and well, that's always that's a lot of what my talks are about, the children.
And they're
today it was about the kids witnessing a softball game where a teacher who was a coach hit an umpire and broke his jaw in two places, and just what is that going to teach the kids? It was Branchburg, New Jersey against Staten Island, under 13 league, the little league, and the Staten Island coach hit the umpire in the jaw and broke his jaw, And people told them after it was over, people told them that the coach had been drinking in between innings.
Mm.
So this was a drunk
that's
thing.
That's bad.
Yeah, that's bad. But what are the kids, okay, the kids saw this. What are they thinking?
You got different opinions probably on the fathers. Some probably said the referee, is that what it was, the referee?
The umpire.
Some probably say, well, he deserved it, and then you have other ones that, you know, look at it the way we look at it. It don't make any sense.
They did have a lot of people saying he deserved it, but I'll tell you what, nobody deserves to be hit in the jaw because of a difference of opinion. This was a
and, you know, when
game.
You call in a game, there's going to be a dislike and different opinions and things like that. And they're not going to get everything right. They're just like everybody else. They're not perfect. They're just doing a job, and sometimes they don't make a call. Sometimes they make a call they shouldn't make. It just all depends, you know. And us as coaches and parents, we have to learn. We might get upset with the call or whatever, but we have to learn. We can't put our hands on anyone else. We got to keep to ourselves. We fuss. We get mad. And some of the kids see that because they get mad. And if they see that the coaches got mad, they're going to defend their coach. The first thing they want to do is say, well, you know, they're going to defend the coach, and then the other team going to come out, want to do the same thing, and then you got the kids involved, whereas it started with the umpire and coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got difference of opinions on the benches from family to family. that really just one thing to another.
Mm-hmm.
That really,
well, this coach
could be
this
taken
coach
care
hit,
of from the beginning.
This coach hit a 72-year-old man in the jaw, broke his jaw in two places. 72-year-old umpire. The guy had been doing it for like 30-some years. The coach was drinking. The coach was drunk.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he was drinking, somebody should have known.
Said he was drinking between. They did know.
Yeah,
they did know.
Somebody should have known, and they should have took the initiative to remove him.
He was from Staten Island. Mm-hmm.
That should have been the first thing done. He should have been removed. He shouldn't have been able to go that far. And
that's right.
Not only removed, if that's the thing that he's been doing all along, he didn't need the job.
No.
Because it's really a disrespect to your team of young men or young guys. First of all, you're disrespecting them to get out there and do what you're doing because you're letting them know, well, if the coach can go out there drinking, well, hey, maybe we can do a little something in between the game ourselves and get by with it, too. It'll be all right because the coach is on it. So he's leading them in a bad way.
Yeah.
He's a bad leader as far as a coach and a person to the young people and the parents that know better. They should have been stepping up to protect their children from a situation like that. And we have a lack of that around the communities nowadays. The parents, they get out, they see the kids playing. All they want their kids to do is play and win. Anything goes wrong, they put it on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to learn that you have to take the initiative to protect your children because that's a negative point pointing in front of them to see something like that and you don't do it.
But see, this is they're not taught. These kids are not taught that, and I directly related that to these young kids that are running in these high-end stores doing the smash and grabs. You've been reading about that?
Yes.
Okay.
No, I haven't been reading about it.
Same mentality. I'm gonna take what I want.
I have to do some catch up on this.
Yeah, they have been doing. It seems to have quieted down now, but for a minute there, they were going in the high-end stores and doing smash and grabs and coming out with all kind of stuff.
Well, they were organizing it on through social media. They were organizing the smash and grabs, and they would go into the high-end stores with hammers or whatever, break the glass cases, steal whatever. And I think it slowed down because some got arrested, and I think one kid even got shot. And I guess with that, it kind of slowed down a little bit. But they did it mostly around Christmas time. They were smashing and grabbing, but they were organizing it through social media. But that's just like the car theft ring with the young kids stealing the cars, carjacking. They were organizing that through social media.
Yeah. It's a bad situation.
Yeah,
like they say, everything starts with your children at home from a young age up.
Yeah.
And the lack of fathers in the homes with the mothers having to do what they do is a big problem simply because the mother can't do but so much when you got boys in the family. They try to do
now
their best, but you need that man there to be able to.
Tell me something. Is that coach a good father?
No.
Okay, so
to do something
it
like
ain't
that.
All that.
I'll say it in this way. I'll say it in this way. He could be a good father to his family, his children. We don't know. But when you go out around other children, but if he does that around his own children, it makes him a bad father.
If he's drinking in between innings, and then he puts
his
hands on another person, he's teaching his children to do the same thing.
you don't have respect for your own children and family. You're definitely not
right.
going to have respect outside of that.
Right.
You're just
exactly. going
to continue to go out and face the world in front of everybody else's children. So it's up to the parent to get to know some of these coaches and see what's going on, as well as we say, if that's just like your son or daughter, they're young and they're getting ready to go out on a date or something, you want to know something about the little young lady they're going out with, or the man or the young guy they're going out with. You want to know something about them and their family.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same way with people that's coaching your children
right.
in any activity. You want to go to meet them and find out a little bit of background about them to see what your children is facing, because that's the problem with our kids nowadays. They're facing so much, and they feel like they can't trust enough to say something to a parent.
And they're ill-equipped. They're ill-equipped to
just
handle
it. Man up.
They're ill-equipped.
And, you know,
to
they tell them to man up. Well, you can't tell a child to man up,
man
if he's just a child. He's trying to learn his way. You got to teach him his way and what he needs to do in a right way.
That's
you can't
right.
tell him to man. Once you man up, you might mess around and get shot or badly hurt trying to man up to something you don't know nothing about.
Right.
So
that's
it's
right.
up to the father to do the right teaching for his child if he's been bullied. Go talk to the teachers. Go bring the other child's father and mother in to where y'all all can come together and talk about why this is happening or what's going on. And once you get to that conclusion, you can maybe become friends or something in the end. You never know. It could bring about a better relationship than bullying. So we have to take the time to do these things with our children. It seemed like that we don't have the time to do it sometimes, but this is the thing that we have to do. Our children is the generation of today. Used to say they're the generation of tomorrow, but it's today. They live every day to see these things going on that they have to learn from, and who has to teach it to them? First, it comes from the father or the mother. In the home before they go out.
That's right.
The Bible lets us know that the father, he's got the lead role. He has to do these things if he's in the home with his children and his wife. He has to do the teaching and let them know. The mother is there to be a helpmeet for the father to help along to do what needs to be done for and with the children. Until they begin to come together and do this, it's going to be hard to be able to teach your children. And then, like the young man said earlier, I heard him when he said that a lot of the children, the teachers, is not wanting to teach because of some of the families and the parents. And that's true. They're getting disrespected and things, and the parents is not wanting to step up and help along with their children. And then once one says something in a wrong way that they feel to them, then they get mad at the teachers, and here you got a lot of chaos going on.
Sometimes it's very defensive
just over something.
About
and if the parents don't get it right, then you know what is the teacher going to do? Her hands is tied.
I look at the shootings that go on every day, 7 days a week in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these kids are 17, 18. They're young, and they're always trying to come up with some type of a program to do this, do that. But I keep asking, just as an old woman asked at our city council meeting, where are the parents?
That's it.
Where are the parents? Why do you have a 17-year-old living in your house, and he's got an AR-15 and an AK-47 in his bedroom, and you have no idea?
That's right.
So where are the parents? What are the parents doing? I know he's coming up with, we'll start this program and the kids can come here. But a lot of those kids who are out there doing that, they're not going to participate.
That's right.
They're not going to participate in those programs. Nah.
No, they're not. Because they don't have that background.
We have our grandkids when we come in. Yes. When our grandkids come in with their tablets and laptops and all of that, we have one of the older ones. He liked to go into the room and shut the door. Mm. And I told him, I said, we don't shut the doors here. I said, you can crack the door and leave it open so far, but not shut the door, because we want to know what's going on at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say nothing to me, but his mama told him one day. He said, why, mama? And I heard him, and I called him downstairs. I said, hey, come down here a minute. We need to talk. He come down there. And I told him, I said, when mama tell you something, you don't question what she tells you. I said, you just do it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because she's telling you something to do. You're a child. She's a grown-up. And I mm-hmm. said, you don't question what she says. So when I heard it, sometimes, you know, the mother might not look at it that way, the way a father does, as disrespectful. Sometimes they're a little easier on the young men going along on them. And mm-hmm. it's up to the father. When you hear it, if you don't step up right there and then, they feel like it's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to let them know it's not all right. You got the respect. I told him, I said, you got something you need to say to Momo. And he come and he said, I'm sorry. And she said, for what? You know, she didn't pay it no attention. Because, mm-hmm. you know, she went ahead and told him what the deal was after he asked why and everything. But me, it's different. You don't ask why.
Exactly.
We told
exactly.
you that you don't do this or do that. You're a child.
And you have
exactly. this house. All you do is listen.
And
we
when we're kids,
the way that we know to do, and we have to, we're responsible for whatever
yes.
goes on in this house.
Mm-hmm.
If something goes on and the door is closed, and we look up and the police show up at this door,
mm-hmm.
and we don't know anything about it, and it concerns something to do with them being in the room, whatever they may do, then,
right.
then the police going to look to us. They're going to
yeah.
look to the parent. They're not going to look to
mm-hmm.
the child.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be like, well, why wasn't you aware of what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And what can you say then? It's too late to say, well,
right.
I didn't know, because you
mm-hmm.
have to stop that from the beginning.
Well,
and if you don't let it get started, it'll never happen.
Well, I'm
all
right.
It might happen somewhere else, away from us. But
yeah.
here, they know better, and they know what's going to be said when they come into it. And I told my wife, I said, we can only be responsible for what we do here with our great-grands and grandkids. When they leave here, we can't be responsible, because
mm-hmm.
we don't know what their parents or other grandparents is letting them do. But we have to stop it here, so it's already in them no matter where they go. But they know the respect when they go from one place to the other.
Well, when I was a kid growing up and my grandparents and aunts would be around, you never asked them why when they told you to do something. Because if you said why, they would say to you, because I told you so. And that would be
yeah.
the end of it. That would be the end of it, because I told you so.
That's right.
No explanation, no anything. So you knew, okay, she told me, this is why, let me do it. So,
right. And if you wanted to buff up like you got mad or something, the first thing they do would look at you, and ain't no telling what would come next.
No.
That's right.
Mm-mm.
See, I didn't have the temerity to ask why. I wouldn't ask them why. I was just doing what I was told. Okay.
Yeah, me too. So we had already learned about that why, asking
uh-huh.
about anything about why. We already knew better.
Mm-hmm.
So we went ahead and whatever was said, and when they told you one time and you act like you didn't hear, and they said, don't make me say it again.
Again.
And when they said that,
mm-hmm.
you knew they meant business, and you
mm-hmm.
better pay attention to what you're doing. And,
yeah.
and you better get in a hurry doing it then, because mm-hmm. you're already messed up because they had to tell you again.
Yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents, they didn't play that. When they told you
mm-hmm.
to do something, that was it.
But see, those days are gone now. Those days,
yes,
the people today are not doing their children and their grandchildren that way. They're not leading with a moral compass. Their moral compass is so messed up, they don't even know how to lead nobody else but one.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And that friendship thing. I never thought of my mother and father as my friends. They were my mother and my father. Today, the parents want to be their kids' friends. And then when the kids start to talk to them as if they were one of their friends, then they get upset.
Yeah.
We were always close to our mothers and fathers.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to business, that friendship, no. I'm your parent.
That's it.
I'm not your friend. You do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
You do what I say.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends is the ones you go out in the street and play with.
That's it.
That's right.
That's what they just tell us. You doing the same thing? No, I'm just
telling you.
Yeah.
So I don't.
We only got a couple of minutes left, but yeah, you're right. And this I see as the problem today with today's youth, white, black.
Yeah.
I don't care what color they are.
That's right.
This is the problem with today's youth.
Mm-hmm.
All generations and colors.
Yeah.
And see, the problem is our kids. Some of them is easily influenced of the people you're around.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can get you to do things that you know is wrong, but you want to fit in.
Yeah.
And
so
you go ahead and you do it anyway. And then when you get in trouble, you put the blame on someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, well, that's on you. You knew better. Why'd you do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you blame somebody else for what you do.
Well, my
parents
always. And
I try to tell them, you be a leader.
Yeah.
Stop being a follower.
Because they always used to come back and say, oh, so if she told you to go jump off a bridge, you're going to go jump off a bridge?
You're going to jump off a bridge. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. We only got a minute, y'all. But
okay. All right.
It's
we enjoyed
really
every
good.
Of it. And I got on late because I went to clean the church and I got back. And I said, well, let me go ahead and join in on since I'm back.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to take care of that duty today so for tomorrow. So I thank the Lord I was able to get on and spend a little time. You know,
well, we appreciate
it
because you have a lot of input. You have definitely a lot of input.
Well, I appreciate
but
it, and I really enjoyed it.
I appreciate it. Yeah, me too. Me too.
We
only got about a half a minute going here.
Shalom, man.
All
right.
And enjoy the rest of the weekend, what's left of it.
Yes.
Shalom.
Thank you, and you
Shalom.
Also. Shalom.
Yes.